This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The X factor for me in this Dallas Cowboys season is Matt Eberflus and that side of the ball. We'll go through our confidence meter after minicamp at 8:40 and below the belt, but we have new sound from a familiar face around here.
Yes, Matt Eberflus had done a sit down right at the end of minicamp with what's the Doomsday Pod called with Edward or Matt Mosley?
Doomsday.
Yeah, the Doomsday Pod. So Matt Mosley and Edward had sat down with Matt Eberflus at the end of last week and went over just several different topics relating to scheme, how he can help Brian Schottenheimer adjust, Micah usage, all that. And then we'll get in at the end of this. We'll play a little bit of his thoughts on the Caleb Williams claim that last year no Chicago coaches actually sat with him and watched film. But we'll start things off here with a very basic question. Matt Eberflus, what is the identity of your defense?
Yeah, the identity goes way back. I mean, we're talking back to the 96 Buccaneers, and that's where it goes back. This is the origin of it. And as you remember, those guys are packed with Hall of Famers and a bunch of great players. And the system allows you really to, play free. It's a disciplined defense, and it allows a lot of eyes on the quarterback, and that's where you get all the takeaways from. And it's very detail oriented, and that's what I took from Coach Marinelli when I was here with him. Took it on to Indianapolis and then up to Chicago, but it's been really good, and the guys love playing in the system because it really maximizes their talents. And helps them really produce on the football field.
And the emphasis is on stopping the run and taking the ball away?
That's it. Yep. We got two things that we do. We stop the run and take the ball away. We like to score on defense, but that's really what our mantra's been, and that's what it continues to be.
Which it's easy to, in these sort of instances, take descriptions like that. Like Mike Nolan would always talk about, like, we're going to take the ball away. We're going to do, like, okay, that's goals. Those are goals that you want to have. But I mean, clearly a lot of this, and it makes sense. Rod Marinelli was a big influence for him. Clearly a lot of this is going to be Tampa 2 influenced, even if it's not a Tampa 2 look, which the Tampa 2 is cover 2 defense, basically. And then the middle linebacker who in the Tampa defense was Derek Brooks, who used to get all those interceptions and do all that stuff. The read is Derek Brooks goes, all right, run. You go attack, and then if he's reading pass, he drops to the middle part of the field, and it becomes cover 3. So, like, kind of adjusts depending on what the middle linebacker reads. But you're going to see a defense, I think, that in a lot of ways still looks similar stylistically or schematically to what we had seen from Rod Marinelli for years, particularly in the defensive line rotation and the way that they rush their defensive tackles. All right.
So, frustratingly good.
I mean, Rod was bend but don't break. I think Eberflus is a little, his style is a little more aggressive, but he's definitely a focus on linebacker play and keeping things in front of you and making plays. Mm-hmm. Like basically trusting guys to make the play in their area. In fact, we can jump to that clip right now. This is clip 23, Peyton. Matt Eberflus, why have you had such success developing linebackers throughout your career?
Yeah, I played the position, and I think that when a guy plays football, at this level, they have a certain camera, in terms of how they see the game. And, some guys are fast processors, and some guys, are a little bit, not as fast. Like Sean Lee was as fast as I've ever seen. He could process, like Luke Kuechly and just boom and hit it. But that was through a lot of film study with him and I, up there doing Breakfast Club together. So, to me, I played a position, so I do have an advantage of how I see the game as a coach, so I can really help those guys to be able to see it. But I think more importantly, it's the skill development. And I told the defense this before they left, and I told them in the beginning, I said, we'll be two things that'll be our separator is going to be our conditioning level and our technique. And the coaches that we brought in, and I'm a stickler on technique and the details of it, but doing it game speed and doing it fast. And that's what I've always done, and that's what I did with Sean and DeMarcus, and that's what we're going to continue to do with this group.
What's up with these new coaches and their microphones?
Yeah, a lot of click in there.
Those are the
Mosey
headsets.
Still has a 103.3 headset.
Those are
rattling, barely held together.
Those are the headsets we have out at the firehouse with the long cord. And so Eberflus kept like moving his arm, and it was like brushing the thing across it. Brian Schottenheimer, obviously a first-time head coach here in Dallas, somebody who's prepped for the job for a long time. But Matt Eberflus is coming off of a head coaching job. So, Matt Eberflus, how exactly are you going to be able to assist Brian Schottenheimer as a first-time head coach?
Yeah, there's a lot of things as a head coach that you don't know that are involved in the job until you become a head coach. And we just been reflecting on that. If it's with the media or if it's with, you know, PR, whatever it might be, practice schedules, way to install the training camp, you know, all those things. And if I see something, I say something, you know, and that's my job as a defensive coordinator is to help and assist the head coach. And that's what I'm doing here with Brian. And he's been great to work with, high energy, high enthusiasm, high intelligence. And we really made really good progress here in this offseason so far.
What type of dude is Eberflus?
I mean, he's got a little bit of a reputation as he can be a hard ass.
Yeah.
Like he can.
That's how he seems to me. Like, I feel a little scared of him.
Yeah. I think most players really like him. That's kind of why the Chicago thing was so odd, the way that it ended. Think about Rod Marinelli and his reputation. Rod was considered a guy who would bark and he'd get on you and he'd do that. But he was also the guy that everybody talked about, like, oh my gosh, he's like my dad. Like, yeah. He's just such a great person to connect with. I think Eberflus maybe has a little bit more rigidity, but it's sort of the same philosophy that there are a lot of guys who have always just said, like,
less than Zimmer.
Yeah, he's less than Zimmer. He's not the same sort of, he's not got that same sort of caustic edge to him that Zimmer has sometimes. Micah Parsons is going to be a big part of anything that they do. And he'll probably be I don't know. You may not love these answers. We'll have to see here.
Right.
Couple different cuts here about Micah Parsons. First, just Matt Eberflus's early impressions of Micah.
Well, I really draw on my experience there because the first time I came here, the linebackers that I coached, you know, were one of them was DeMarcus Ware, right? And that was a really good for me in terms of the experience. First of all, I became a very good linebacker coach right away. But I had Sean Lee and Keith Brooking and Brady James and all those guys and Anthony Spencer. But they did a heck of a job, and they still do a great job in personnel here. But to answer your question, that was really, for me, the experience that I had to hold everybody else to the highest standard of, hey, that's the best of the best, you know, in terms of a rusher, in terms of a worker, and all those things. Now, Micah has all those. He really does. He has all the work ethic that DeMarcus has. He's got the power. He's not quite as big. But, man, he works his butt off, and he loves football. And this guy's got high football intelligence. So I'm excited to work with him, and do some great things with him this year. And when he gets in, he gets in.
It's good. It's exactly what you'd expect to hear, is that I'm excited to work with him. And it's like, okay, but let's dig a little bit. How? Because how he was used was different under Mike Zimmer.
By the way, we always talk about changes at offensive coordinators screwing over a quarterback. Baker, how many guys?
Oh, yeah.
How many? What about for a defensive player? And how many is this for Micah now?
This is now Micah's third defensive coordinator.
Quinn Zim,
and Eberflus.
Feels like more.
Yeah, he just missed Nolan by a year, right?
He was the year after Nolan had gotten let go.
Do you think that matters?
Yeah, I mean, it does, especially if there's a...
Or does it matter the most for corners?
No, I think it matters for a guy like Micah, who's so clearly, like, varied and multiple in the way that he's used, that there's going to be a million different ideas from different coordinators on how he should be applied. Mike Zimmer had a different idea for him than Dan Quinn did. I think Matt Eberflus is going to have different ideas from him from both of those. And this is where we'll see if this is frustrating to RJ Chappie, or if he just thinks it's talk right here. Matt Eberflus, have you and Micah discussed specifically how he's going to be used?
we had a meeting, him and I had about a half-hour meeting yesterday on that very subject, just him and I in my office. And, you know, for him, you have to move this guy around. Now, what's great about our current roster is that we have other rushers now that can rush. You know, so to pay attention to one particular rusher is going to be more difficult than if you just had one on one side. So that's going to be a good thing, too. So we'll have to do we can do less of that.
We can do less of that. And, oh, we got other rushers, and we can move them around, and we don't have to worry about necessarily just saying, Mikey, you got to go get to the quarterback every single time. Does that concern you at all, Chop? Or is that just rhetoric?
They're just talking, man. Like, you get into the game, there's going to be 50 plays that he's in, 60 plays that he's in. He's going to be rushing the passer on basically every dropback.
I believe in Matt Eberflus's career, when he has been a defensive coordinator, which going back to college and into the NFL, when he's been a defensive coordinator or a head coach, I think he's had one pass rusher that's gotten double-digit sacks
wow.
in his career, and I think it was at Missouri. I think it was like somebody like Coney Ealy or somebody. I can't remember who it was.
Coney Ealy.
It was somebody at Missouri. It was somebody at Missouri who had picked up double-digit sacks, but it was Justin Houston in Indianapolis, picked up 10.5. And that's the only time that he's ever gotten double-digit sacks, because it's not really the style of the defense. It's a lot of stuff where you're getting...
So you're not thinking it's a lack of talent. It's the style?
The style is going to focus so much more on penetration from the defensive tackles that basically it can spread the wealth a little bit of the sacks. And it's also about just trying to generate bad decisions and generate bad throws. So that's kind of the overview for Dallas. What about the question of Caleb Williams? Because this came up when the Caleb Williams stuff has come out. We've wondered, all right, is this an indictment of, in general, Matt Eberflus's leadership, his approach, anything else? Is that a concern? So when it was asked to Matt Eberflus, you know, Caleb Williams says no coaches were sitting with him doing film study. What do you think about that?
I would say this, that, you know, in the development of the quarterback position and really all positions, at my time at the Bears, we've always had daily coached film sessions. That was out through the entire year. So that's what I observed, and that's where it was.
And they tried to hit him with like one follow-up, and he went, "It's what I observed, and that's what it was." And it's like, oh, he did not like Caleb Williams' comments then. That clearly frustrated him a little bit.
Yeah, but, because it makes Eberflus look inadequate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and if it's just, if it could have been Caleb Williams being a little flippant or maybe massaging the truth, then Eberflus is going to be like, you know, I caught enough hell going out of there. I don't need that on my plate, too. The idea that we just didn't have coaches sitting in the film room with him.
Did they ask him about time management?
I did not hear a time management question. There was so
handling of the players after?
Shoddy, no, they'd moved on from that pretty quick. Shoddy had gotten
how do you think Matt would have asked that?
what do you think about your time? What do you think has been going on there?
You know, the passage of time. There was an old poet that said, yeah. The Shoddy got asked about time management recently, though. It sounds like it's going to be, the workflow will be similar to what McCarthy had used. Not necessarily the decision making will be the same, but the workflow will be the same, where they will have somebody in the booth with a headset, probably Ryan Feeder, who is giving them details about, hey, this is where we're at, this is what the numbers say, and these are your options. And then he just makes a call right there.
Inside the Star, in your home of America's team, with our insider Bobby Belt. That is, once again, your Cowboys defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, here on DFW Sports Station with Sean and RJ. Let's hook you up with a brand new music ticket giveaway for you starting off your week with us. And are these the Texas Rangers that we've been waiting for all season? Play-by-play voice and Rangers insider Jared Sandler after the Rangers sweep, commercial-free with the Expressway. Plus, I want all the stories, best and worst Father's Day tales, including why I had to spend one of the days this weekend in the emergency room. No. Next.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Will the offense bounce back? When will we see Trayvon Diggs? Are we going to see Joe Milton at all? Let's talk about it here in Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. We're going to do some Cowboys over-unders here. So we did this last year where at the end of minicamp, we had done some over-unders, and then we revisited them before the season to see, all right, now that we've gone through training camp and anything else, are we feeling more or less optimistic about where we had some of these things? And we're going to go through a few of them here, and then we'll revisit them before the week one game against the Philadelphia Eagles. But a lot of these are going to focus on the offense, since that's where a lot of the turnover is. And I feel like a lot of people feel like that's where you have the ability to maybe make up the most ground from last year. So let's just kick it off right away with one Dak Prescott. Sean Sharif, Dak Prescott touchdown passes this season, 26.5.
During his fantastic years, how many was he throwing?
He was a 30-plus guy. But those fantastic years, he usually played 16, 17 games.
And how many did you set it for?
26.5.
I will take the over.
The over. Okay.
My only question, if he plays 17, it's over. I don't know if he'll play. I think he'll play in probably 13 or 14.
I'm setting 26.5 with the idea in mind we're projecting potentially 3 or 4 missed games there. Chop, 26.5.
You're playing 4 missed games. I'm gonna have to take the under.
Man,
so are you anticipating he'll miss that many?
Yeah.
I mean, that's generally what he does. He misses a game or two. I would probably lean the under because there's gonna be enough games where they're gonna have a lead and they're not throwing. They're winning because of the running game.
Mahomes, I might make it lower. Mahomes had 26 touchdown passes last year. Josh Allen had 28. I thought it was going to be higher. Burrow led the way with 43, then Baker at 41, Lamar at 41.
Mahomes is mid, though. Like, that's the biggest problem with comparing those two, I would say. I think, generally, when the offense is clicking, he's about 30. Like, he's 30 to 32 if he's healthy and they're clicking. So
I'll keep it over.
I think the run game is a question, too, of just how effective is that going to be versus how much they'll have to lean on the pass, potentially. Next one here. Jake Ferguson touchdowns. He had 5 in 2023. Last year, he had a big old goose egg to his rookie season. So I've set the over-under at that 2023 baseline. 4.5 touchdowns for Jake Ferguson in 2025.
Under.
And is that a function of you think Ferguson's down or you think that's just weapons related with Pickens being here?
I think I don't think he's down. I just think it's weapons related for one. And he's, I don't know, like, he kind of proved he wasn't a touchdown guy.
I think we're going to see when he scores touchdowns this year, if he scores, the touchdowns he'll score, I would almost be willing to bet they will be between 15 and 20 yards, every single one of them that he scores. Because I think that right into the red zone seam throw, they're going to love. And Dax loved that throw before. He tried it with Schoonmaker a few different times. He's done it with Ferguson. He's thrown it to Jarwin in the past. Like, he loves that 20 yards out, throw down the seam as a way to try and take advantage of the defense. So, I think...
Give me his percentage rep. In the first quarter of the season, what would be the percentage reps for Ferguson versus Spanford and Schoon?
Ooh. Well, they could go 2 tight end sets, but for him specifically within the offense, I'm going to say... I'm looking at his past. He'll probably play... I know my first inclination was 75% roughly, but I mean, he's played as much as high 80s before.
It's a great number. I'm struggling with it. I'll go over because of the attention to Pickens and CD.
I'm going to take the...
And the bounce back.
I'll take the slide over.
Okay, same.
All right. Next one here is we do Cowboys over-unders for the 2025 season. Trayvon Diggs' first game. Ooh. Setting it at week 3.
You're the doctor. Kind of.
He will play week 3.
You think it's right there?
I think it's right there.
I genuinely have no idea is the problem. That week 3 felt like to me like, all right, we get a little bit of a, he's not quite ready for the season, but they got a hold of him in training camp in time to go, all right, we're going to ramp you up and get you ready to go. So, yeah, I'm going to say he plays.
When did he get hurt, and what's the standard return for this injury?
He'd gotten hurt. So he had the surgery in November, I think it was, late November. He'd been hurt for a couple weeks, apparently, and it just got worse.
I mean, we've seen as low as 9 months, right?
I'm going to say that he, I'm going to say he plays after that. I'm going to say it's closer to week 4 or 5.
Was the surgery immediate?
No, he had played with it for a little bit, and then he got shut down, and then he had the surgery.
I'll go after as well.
All right, first George Pickens.
And if I'm wrong, coming after you, Shereen Williams.
First George Pickens sideline blowup captured by TV cameras, week 4.
After. Because the schedule's easier to start. I'm taking the schedule into account.
So I did too. So this is why I said it at week 4. Week 1 is national television, but it's week 1. You're still getting your footing about you. Then you got the Giants and the Bears on not necessarily like super prime time. Week 4 would be there's been some time built up, and it's the Packers on Sunday Night Football. And he's going to want to show out in a big way on a national stage. And so that's the one where I think like, all right, if he's going to get a little frustrated, we might see it there first.
Yeah, I'm going to say after week 4, it probably won't be until you get to Washington. I could see it happening on the road to Chicago, but I don't think it will. I think it's too early.
I'm going to say after because he's, or over, because I think he's been very aware of, hey, I need to make sure I've got everything in order so that I can get my contract right. Next one here is we do Cowboys over-unders for the season. Joe Milton pass attempts. We're setting this over-under at 60.5.
Oh, under.
Over.
So
he's going to get it in one game. They're going to give him. He's not even going to run the ball. Joe Milton's just going to pass it 60 times.
Under.
For reference, last year, Cooper Rush played the vast majority of the snaps. Lance still got in 41 pass attempts with as little as he played.
Yeah, well, this team's going to be more in contention because their backup's not going to have to play as much. Mm-hmm. And in the 3 or 4 games where Dak's not playing, it will be Greer. So, no, for Milton.
So, I wonder, the only reason why I said it's so high at 60.5 is my thought is if Dak gets hurt, Greer plays. If they have something wrapped up or they need somebody to take garbage time throws as just like get some reps in, I think Milton plays. Okay. And so I think that
but
it's just.
You don't think they're going to be in positions to have anything wrapped up. You think Cowboys are going to win 9 games most, right?
No, and well, I moved to 10. I think it's basically about a 10-win team. But if you're if it's a game where they're up 42-10,
okay,
I could see Milton playing the fourth quarter.
And he's going to hand off.
That's true. He could do it that way. I'm going to say under, but I don't think it's going to be under by a ton. All right, we're doing Cowboys over-unders here. Micah Parsons, let's go to the defensive side of the ball.
If I had more faith that they do the right thing and get Milton the reps, I would love to say over. Yeah. But they butchered that with Trey Lance last year. Mm-hmm. That infuriated me.
Would you prefer to just see Milton basically take every single preseason game snap?
Yeah. I think I would like to see that like they did with Trey.
Well,
Will Greer's. I think we know what Will Greer. He's comfortable here.
Yeah, I don't know that Will needs a ramp up.
Yeah,
to be the backup.
I want Dak to get some.
Yeah, okay, that's fair too. Yeah,
yeah.
Get him a series. But after that, whenever Dak's out,
Milton over Greer.
Every single time.
Yes.
Micah Parsons sacks, 13.5.
Over.
That was very quick, that over.
Well, because he's the best defensive end in the game other than maybe Miles.
Well, what about the scheme? What about Eberflus?
Because Rob Ryan told me personally.
Well,
it was in a press conference when I was listening.
Oh, okay.
So Mike Fisher personally. That's how that was.
Yeah, I love when reporters told me.
Yeah, told me. Yeah, me and 30 other people that
they answered
there.
Your question. Yeah. Told me.
Take your shirt off and say personally.
He told me how smart Matt Eberflus was. Tell me how smart he was, right? Oh, he said, Matt Eberflus, he's a genius. If he's a genius, then Micah Parsons rushes every time.
All right, here are his numbers. Sack numbers for the first 4 years of his career. 13, 13.5, 14, 12.
And you're setting it where?
13.5.
Over.
I'm going to say under.
Oh! Why? Scheme or training camp rust? Or he's just going to hold out all the games?
Some of what the scheme will ask him to do. And also, I think we've just seen this is kind of the Micah experience. Is Micah will have these bursts where he's got like 7 sacks in 4 games, and then it's like 3 weeks where he's not getting anything. And so I think those combined, I'm guessing he's going to be closer to around 12. DeMarvian Overshown games played, 4.5.
Under.
Under.
This would basically be like mid-December on.
Meet the schedule.
I think it's about 4.
Did Overshown just have a child?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't see that. But I think he plays about 4 games, roughly. So I'll say he's just under that, but I do think he comes back and plays. And then final one here as we do Cowboys over-unders. Cowboys.
Welcome, second child. Congratulations to Overshown.
Cowboys Pro Bowlers on offense, 2.5. And these are not replacement guys. These are the initial roster. Guys who are named to the initial roster.
I'll say under. It'll be Lamb and a lineman.
Lamb and Tyler Smith were, like, to me, the ones who I feel pretty confident about. Anything after that is a projection, it feels like.
I'm say over.
Who's the who are we going over with? You think this is a Dak year again?
Lamb. Dak. Tyler.
Oh, Guyton.
Guyton?
Booker. Or Booker.
Oh, wow. Rookie.
The rookie pro bowler.
Booker is, I have this Zach Martin. He is stepping in day one, top 5 guard in the league.
Yeah, as a floor guy, if you want to just talk about where's his baseline minimum, he is the most, and I know we've said this, but he is the most pro-ready lineman that they've drafted in a long time. It's probably since Zach
probably
Martin.
Since Zach.
I don't think he's going to be Zach, but he's in terms of just ready to play and understanding NFL concepts and not being behind and being competitive right from the jump. He's Zach Martin in that sense for sure.
B-Lo, D-Belt, from our Cowboys Insider on the official home of America's Team with Sean and RJ. It's a Tolo Tuesday. Thank you for turning it on, leaving it on. And it's also your home of the 9 a.m. giveaway. We have more concert tickets to hook you up with. And is RJ starting to get a little scared of Cooper Flagg, your next Maverick savior? NBA Finals last night, final hour. Sean and RJ with a concert ticket giveaway next.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take off my belt!
Don't make me take off my belt!
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Oh, it is the middle of June, so you know what that means.
Everybody loves lists. It's time for lists.
And that's what we're doing today. We're doing some Cowboys buy or sell for the 2025 regular season here on 105.3 The Fan as we do Below the Belt, which is sponsored by D&M Leasing. Check them out at dmautoleasing.com. We're also here doing the Firehouse Tour. We're out in Arlington at 401 West Main Street. And we got some shout-outs from the last commercial break. Parker, little baby Parker, with his parents Rachel and Colby came through. And then we just had Philip, who had talked to you on you were talking to him on Twitter yesterday with his kids Levi, Jackson, and Aria.
Asked if it was fan friendly. Yeah, man, come out here and check out the fire trucks.
Yeah, my kid is sitting in the front seat of a fire truck right now. So,
wow, okay,
it's a good time. It's
better than the back seat.
It's what?
Huh?
Yeah.
Dude.
All right.
Hey, Chubby.
Rude. There you go. Speaking of lists and everybody loving lists,
everybody loves lists.
I'm gonna request Chris Arnold.
having a list tomorrow.
You're going to have to.
It's me and CA.
Oh!
Tomorrow. We may call it, I don't know what we're going to call the show, but he is in for
CNC.
You guys. The CNC Sports Factory.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Music Factory. Maybe we call it that one. But me and Chris Arnold rolling 6 to 10 tomorrow.
Nice.
Look at that. All right, we're going to do some Cowboys buy or sell here. It's obviously a simple concept. I will list something out, a statement for you, state it as fact, and then you just tell me if you're buying or selling that as a fact. And I got one for every position group on the team. So we'll kick things off here. The increase in reps for Brevin Spanford in offseason practices means second-rounder Luke Schoonmaker is on the bubble heading into training camp.
Bye.
Time to show up?
Yeah. I mean, again, now the Spanford reps were a little deceiving, I think, in what it meant for Ferguson. So maybe it works the other way as well, and what it means for Schoonmaker. But I haven't heard you say anything on or off the record that's glowing about Luke Schoonmaker whatsoever. So what has been holding him back the most?
Talent.
I mean, honestly, he's not shown he can play football at a decent level consistently. Like, he had traits coming out. I thought he was going to be good. He has not been good at this point. I had a miss on that one. Chop, buy or sell?
So this would be year three for him?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only thing that would I could say is that we've seen it sometimes where one person's getting all these reps, and they're just seeing if they can do it before getting rid of them, and they already know about the other guy. But I don't think that's the case. Was it Dan Bailey that one year we just like Dan was out of nowhere. They just cut him. They just kept giving
Maher all these yarder reps. At the end of the preseason.
And they're just like, and we're out of nowhere. They just cut Bailey. But I agree with Sean.
How long has Spanford been around?
This would be year
last
three.
Last year was his first year. This is year three for Schoonmaker, year two for Spanford.
Yeah. Not good for Schoon.
Next one here, as we do Cowboys buy or sell. The Cowboys offense will be as good or as bad as Terrence Steele and Tyler Guyton are.
I would buy that, but I think you need to include the entire line.
I think I'm just assuming a baseline level of play from Tyler Smith, Cooper Beebe, and Tyler Guyton, or Tyler Booker, that makes me say, I know.
But why are you assuming the Booker play after Guyton last year?
Because Booker is, like Guyton was a raw player coming out, Booker is not. Booker is kind of like a baseline. So the variance is not very wide.
Okay.
Guyton and Steele, the variance could be super poor or really good.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends on how they click.
I can buy that.
Chop, you're selling, though.
Repeat it so I can hear the exact phrasing.
The Cowboys' offense will be as good or as bad as Terrence Steele and Tyler Guyton.
Well, the number one thing I would say is Dak health.
Which is tied to that probably in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so I'll buy it.
Yeah, I guess I will buy it.
Because you have Tyler Booker making the Pro Bowl.
Yes, I do. I would do. It would have to be the entire O-line, but yeah.
Next one here on Cowboys Buy or Sell. Unless Miles Sanders or Javonte Williams shows themselves to be significantly better, the Cowboys should just start Jaden Blue and not waste time with mid-tier veterans.
Sell.
You're out on that one?
I mean, I haven't heard you say anything about Jaden Blue at practice.
Right, and that's why I would say, like, the idea being here is that just find out what Jaden Blue is, because you already know generally what Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams are.
Nah, we can start off with the vets, and then we can give the young kid looks, unless you're absolutely in love with Jaden Blue.
I have not been. He's been
fine. But coming out of college, prospect.
Okay, he went on day three for a reason. He's got a big fumble issue, but, I mean, he does a lot of different things for them
he's
as a receiver.
He's got juice, right?
Yeah, he's fast.
I would not let Jaden Blue anywhere near the field in the preseason, and I would roll with them week one, game one, snap one.
So you're buying.
Yeah, I want fresh legs at that position.
Next one here on Cowboys Buy or Sell. If Dak Prescott misses significant time due to injury, the Cowboys absolutely have to acquire his eventual replacement next spring.
Sell. They already have. Joe Milton.
That's a gamble.
I'll buy. I'm done with Dak if this is a disastrous injury season. I'm over and done with it. Figure out a way to get out of it, or have him sit there on the bench like Deshaun Watson's going to do with the acquired replacement.
I agree.
I agree.
You agree?
If he gets hurt again,
Bobby Bell agrees.
If he gets hurt for a significant amount of time, like, I still think he's a good player, but it's like, all right, if you're not going to be available, it's you've got injury issues that we need to start adjusting.
Yeah.
So I need to look at his contract real quick. Hang tight. So
I'll tell you, he's probably got a tattooed on his lower back.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm going to sell. You can't.
It doesn't mean you move on from him next year. You start.
Cleveland's doing it.
You acquire his replacement.
Yeah, Cleveland is doing it.
I didn't say, yeah, they can't move on.
Yeah, that's why I said acquire his replacement. Like, you start
now
figuring out how to get him.
Nope. Okay. Nope. I'm not getting his replacement until he's off the books and you can take advantage of the 4-year window or 5-year window.
I can see it.
Because he's going to have a cap hit. I mean, for crying out loud, if you were to cut him right now, it's a $180 million dead cap hit. Is that right?
Yeah,
and then next year, it's $130
million. Look, you got to.
No one's talking about cutting him.
Oh, I know, but like,
he's got to sit over there and rot.
To me, you're not doing the system right if you get his replacement and sit him.
And I'll add on to it: if he gets hurt again, that's probably as high as you're drafting. Yeah. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah,
the rookie quarterback season could be bad too, but theoretically you have a bad record and higher pick to get the quarterback.
Next one here on Cowboys buy or sell, last one on the offense. If the Cowboys are running a true meritocracy, Kevontae Turpin should just be the team's third receiver.
Sell. I don't know if Kevontae Turpin has earned, you know, like the third wide receiver spot. I always said Kevontae Turpin was underutilized, underused, and just get the ball in his hands. That's what a coach is supposed to do. The man is electric. He's terrifying in any time he gets the ball, but he has obvious severe limitations.
Yeah.
So, no, he shouldn't just be given the third wide receiver role. But, yeah, get him creative touches, which I'm hearing Schottenheimer is going to do.
Creative, not necessarily make him the three, but be creative with him. He's cute. He's fun. He's fun to watch, right? It's a cute little toy.
I can argue Jalen Tolbert has earned the three.
Well, and that would be kind of
because of the touchdown catches.
Yeah, that would be kind of like do you think Tolbert has done enough to like reverse the bust label at this point to be like, all right, you can confidently run with him?
Maybe not. Bust might be harsh, but I'm not excited about Jalen Tolbert yet. Are you?
No. I mean, I think he flashed a little bit last year, and losing Dak hurt him more than it hurt probably any of the other receivers. But yeah, I think that Turpin will be in a competitive spot. It's really hard to run out there with CD playing in the slot frequently and then still putting Turpin on the field consistently too. Next one here, as we look at defense, Cowboys buy or sell. There's nothing left to learn about Mazi Smith. We know who he is.
Ooh.
Year three, just like Luke Schoonmaker.
I'll lean towards buying it. Even though I can hear Jerry Jones for the 50th time saying, Tom Landry told me he got to wait 3 years. I don't know whether that was for an O-lineman or what position it was.
I think it was D-line.
The thing that's contributing the most in my mind to saying this is Mozzie's body language at training camp. Now, again, that's a very small observation. I'm not out there in Frisco every day like Bobby, but I will. He had some flashes last year.
Yeah,
he did.
He had a couple really. It seemed like every game he played against the NFC East, he was awesome.
Shouldn't Eberflus be better for him? With the emphasis on D tackle.
Yeah, if they plan on using him more like a traditional three, a one technique, a nose guard, not necessarily. But yeah, I mean, he's got traits where they could probably have him be competitive as a three.
What's your answer?
I know what I know, but I know what he is. He's a C player at best.
Bobby?
Yeah, I think we know.
Is it more internal? Is that the problem?
Yeah, because, I mean, he physically looks good. And we've seen him. He flashes. A player who flashes, that says there's something wrong that's making them not a consistent football player that is broken. All right, next one here on Cowboys by yourself. With so much pass rush ability among their edge rushers, finishing outside the top 10 in sacks would be coaching malpractice.
No, because you went through the Eberflus sack stats, and I'm excited but not greatly confident about this group of pass rushers. Give me a name besides Micah Parsons,
Dante
Fowler. Sam Williams is a huge question mark.
Yeah, he is.
Nealon is not for sure. Ezeraku is a rookie. So, no, I can't say it's malpractice because there's questions.
Sure.
There are questions.
There's more unproven than proven.
Sure. Like Fowler is obviously proven to be what he is, which isn't Micah, but he's proven as a good pass rusher. Micah is what Micah is. And then you've got what you know are traits, though, with the other three.
Yeah.
And so traits with two solid guys should equate to, you would think, top 10 production.
You would think, but Marshawn Nealon hasn't done anything, and Sam Williams hasn't really done anything, and obviously Ezeraka is not.
I would say finishing outside the top 10 in pressures.
Okay.
You know, just because the sack is, look, it's great to get, but the pressure's almost equally as important because a lot of pressure can lead to turnovers. But, yeah, I would say lead outside the top 10 in pressures.
All right, and we'll do one more here, again, on the defensive side of the ball, and this is Cowboys by ourselves. If last year's third-rounder Maris Leofau can't start ahead of no-name veteran Jack Sanborn and journeyman Kenneth Murray, there's something seriously wrong.
If Leofau can't start ahead of the other two?
Mm-hmm. Murray, who's a journeyman and considered a first-round bust, Sanborn, who was an undrafted free agent 3 years ago, and the Cowboys scooped up.
And Leofau was what round pick?
Third.
No, I think that's a little harsh. I saw some decent flashes from Maris last year. I'm not down on him.
Right, and that's what I would say. If he's shown you those flashes,
seriously,
and you've got two guys who don't seem like starting linebackers.
Yeah, but you signed, you gave Murray, I don't remember what the money was.
They traded for him, and they signed Sanborn.
Yeah, I don't have to, I'll sell.
I sell too. Like, I mean, I think Murray has been kind of impressive at camp during these camp periods, and Sanborn is an Eberflus guy, so I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, again, I don't think there's something wrong there because, like you said, different scheme, different coaches. That were a part of that draft, so I don't think it's that big of a deal.
All right, and that's your Cowboys buy or sell.
From our insider, Bobby Roberto Belt, who's got the family out here in Arlington, Firehouse number 1, 401 West Main. We got the fan bucket hats. They are gone, though. Whataburger, Frazier Roofs and Gutters, and Firehouse Movers responsible for today's broadcast with the Hump Day edition.
Hump Day.
We got 1 hour left. After last night, do we have a brand new dynasty in sports? And we give away another pair of concert tickets before Brett Boone joins us at 9:20 here on Sean and RJ.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, hoping for the next 2 hours to be flawless radio for me. As it does turn out, the Twitch has said they have clipped it, and I did say re-poop. So, guys, I'm hoping for everybody that's just now joining us for their lunchtime break that I can deliver better, more consistent radio for you.
I'm praying. But, this has been an absolute train wreck for 2 hours,
but
Corey.
No promises.
What the hell is going on with you over there?
That's kind of the way I've always
liked
it.
You put up with this crap every day? This dude's saying poop on the air. It's unbelievable. This is an embarrassment.
Are you embarrassed?
Are you embarrassed?
I mean,
grits.
Show's doing pretty good, so I'm just going to say
number one midday show in DFW right here, baby.
Thank you, Zach. I really appreciate that. So I kind of like the train wrecks.
I love it, too.
I feel like the train wrecks are what we are, and we've never claimed to be perfect. But you look at ESPN sometimes, and you're just like, man, they nailed that segment perfectly. That's never something that our show's ever claimed to be. We're going to be as good as we possibly can, but we're humans, and we'll get you to laugh while we're doing it, too. The make or break player for the Dallas Cowboys in 2025. This something I pitched out to Kevin the other day, and we just kept not being able to get it into the show. And I was like, this is perfect for Friday because Woolchuck's in studio with me. And I love listening to Woolchuck's opinions on the Cowboys during the G-Bag Nation. You got to listen every day, 2 to 7. By the way, you got to go check them out today.
Check them out.
Where are we at? We're at Pickler's Universe.
Carrollton,
correct?
Baby. Yep. Pickler Universe in Carrollton. They're going to have free pizza out there for you, courtesy of Mr. Jim. So go on out 2 to 5. Say hello to my buddies and make sure you go right up to Brian. I don't care if he has a headset on or not. As long as they're in a break, you ask him all the football questions.
As long they have to be in a break, though?
Yeah. I mean, otherwise.
Can't talk to him on air?
That'd be a little bit.
He's not going to allow it.
He won't. Okay. He might not even allow it off a break, but I want you to try.
You know, I have been told that he won't talk to women off the breaks. Yeah, if women try to talk to him.
Really?
He will not talk to them. That's what I've been told.
I have not noticed this.
I saw him be accused of it once right there in front of me.
I saw that
spectacular.
Too. Yeah, that was a pretty wild moment.
She knows. All right, the Cowboys make or break player for this season. Zach, like I said, I love your Cowboys' opinions here on the G-Bag Nation. So this could be one of two things. I asked Kevin this, and since he's not here today, he said, hey, can I make my submission, though?
Mm-hmm.
I said, absolutely. And he said, Trayvon Diggs.
Okay.
And I said, is that for himself or for the team? And he said, I think it's both. And so for him, if Trayvon Diggs isn't what they want or expect or back to what normal is for him,
could the Cowboys say, all right, see you later, and get out of that contract? The other thing is, if he's not that guy, Cowboys team, are they going to struggle in the secondary? Ravel, I know we've seen, we love Ravel. We all do. But he has to get healthy and then get up to speed at this level.
And we don't know. I mean, it's a projection.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're hoping that he's a good player in the NFL.
You saw the traits that you liked about him.
No question about it. I think that Diggs is a good one, right? If they end up having a healthy Trayvon Diggs, how much differently do we feel about the secondary? I think a ton, right? Because now all of a sudden you do feel good about, you got Bland, you got Diggs on the outside, and then what happens at nickel? Does somebody emerge? Does Kalen Carson end up being a guy that can play the slot? Does it end up being Israel McQuamu? Or do they just say, all right, here's Kyer Elam, and we're going to kick Bland inside on nickel passing downs? I don't know that there is a player I am more out on where we stand on June 20th than Trayvon Diggs.
Really?
Wow. I've heard so many things that if he did not get hurt, he's a player in a contract they would have looked to move and trade this offseason. There's question marks when it comes to, and Jerry said it, you know, the rehab, the approach, the want to, the buy-in. It's just, there's things after the contract has been signed that's just been around that it hasn't been positive, man. And a lot of that is just Trayvon Diggs needs to lock in. Is this a job? Do you love football? I think those things have been questioned. When you have that,
and then you get the big money because you're talented.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes a lot of people will question that too, because the love part of it. And sometimes you question it yourself. You're just like, I'm paid. I can buy all these other interests that I have.
I've made it. Now, he was just talking about how many kids he's got. He wants to play football for X amount of years, right? So, like, and I hope he does, man, because Trayvon Diggs in 2021 was so much fun, and it's rare to find players like that. And then the tackling stuff. It's like, we've seen it. We've seen glimpses. He saves the game against Cincinnati a couple of years ago, wants to get physical, wants to tackle. The Giants opener 2 years ago ends up blowing a coverage, runs back, pops a fumble, boom, here we go. You can see him be physical when he wants to. It's just the want to. It's the desire. It's the heart, the will. That, I think, I don't know. Is it consistent? Does it run hot and cold? The player for me, though, is Tyler Guyton. I really think this is all about the offensive line. I've advocated, I actually have more pressing questions for the offense than I do the defense. There are questions on the defense, 100%, but I think the more important, vital questions are, what the heck is this offense even going to look like? Because they're saying a lot of different things. We got new schemes. We want to play up tempo. What version of Dak do you get? Dak has usually been really good in seasons following an injury. And you can think Dak will never win a Super Bowl. That's fine. But the reality is Dak's a good regular season quarterback.
Absolutely.
And then we can have that conversation about the playoffs. And I'm probably going to agree with you if you say he's not the guy that's going to get it done. But to me, it's Guyton, and it's this offensive line. If the offensive line plays better, I think that they'll be able to generate a rushing attack no matter who emerges out of that backfield. And when this team's been at their best, you go back to 16, you go back to 18, 2014, right? It's the offensive line was the best in football. They've got an opportunity now with three first-rounders yet again on that offensive line. Terrence Steele hopefully bouncing back with a new offensive line coach. You know how I feel about Cooper Beebe. I think he's going to be just fine and continue to ascend. If you can just get, I don't even need all-pro, Pro Bowl level Tyler Guyton. I just need a solid, good left tackle. Don't be a liability. Don't be getting holding calls to disrupt drives.
Yep.
Line up on the line of scrimmage, right? So don't be giving Dak, I mean, boom, snaps, here's pressure in my face right now. And now I got to roll to my right. We'll see what the hell happens. Whole play's broken down. Timing's off. Just need a solid version of Tyler Guyton, and I think they can be really good.
I use the word lazy footwork because last year there were too many times you saw him reach. And when you're reaching, you didn't do what you needed to do to get your feet in position. And that's what I saw with Tyler Guyton a lot of last year. I call it lazy. It could be an experience. It could be that his body just wasn't physically capable of doing it yet, but he needs to be better at getting his feet right. And if he can do that, he's strong, then he needs more experience for sure. That definitely has to happen. Because Guyton was my guy too.
Mm-hmm.
Guyton was definitely the
I'm
one
sorry.
That, no, that's great because I think a lot of people are in the same boat right
here,
now.
Yeah.
A lot of people look at this offensive line and they think what we said earlier, Tyler Smith next to Cooper Beebe, next to Tyler Booker, that's a strong trio up the middle. which the Cowboys, since Tony Romo, have been very adamant they want to be good in that, in those three areas, because of how close you are to the quarterback. And if you can keep the space around that quarterback a little clean, Dak can step up in the pocket and do a little bit more. The edges are a little less of a concern. I guess then the person that I'll go with is Jake Ferguson. I think it's a make or break for him, and I also think it's a make or break for this team, because his physicality sets tones for the guys around him. Nobody was going to touch Dak if Jake Ferguson was on the field, because Jake Ferguson would not let them. He would, if it happened, he's going to get in your face to show you why it shouldn't happen again. And so him last year, after the injury, I know the injury happened, but even before that, he didn't look, he had a couple of penalties that were kind of off, and he just didn't look focused last year. And you can't have that. You just can't have one of your best players, guys that all the people look at and go, he sets the tone for us. He can't be the one false starting like Guyton. He can't be the one out there committing holding penalties downfield and causing problems that bring the ball back, because the team's not good enough. They weren't good enough last year to withstand those penalties. And when you talk about the offense, the running the ball and who emerges out of that room, I have no clue. I have zero clue who's going to emerge out of that room. But that offensive line and that tight end group is going to help it.
Yeah.
So that, like, that's the, I want Javonte Williams to emerge as a more than 2 yards per rush guy, because I had him in fantasy and I watched him. I know what I saw. And I was like, okay, the problem I couldn't decide on, and I don't know if you went back and watched Denver a lot last year, was that his offensive line didn't have a second level block for him, or was that all he could do? Because there were too many times I saw him get into the back of a pile and just, that was it.
Yeah.
And then you'd see like a McLaughlin would get the ball and he'd create some space for himself. And so I often wonder, Javonte Williams, another year off the injury, will this offensive line be able to block two levels down for him to be able to get to that point?
That's the hope. And I was with you. I kind of assumed this would be Javonte Williams as RB1, and then we'd see like, hey, how does Jadon Blue end up doing as the season goes on? But out of minicam, I know, you know, just trusting to what Bobby's saying, it does sound like Miles Sanders has looked better than I and a lot of people thought he would. I kind of threw dirt on Miles Sanders.
I will continue to, for this reason. Right now, it's easy to run. Easy space to run in.
We're not in pads.
And he's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield, too. So it all looks easy for him. Whenever the things start to get tough, that's when I'm with you. I was like, Miles Sanders.
I mean, Carolina seemed like they wanted to just get rid of him at every turn. Like Chuba Hubbard, here you go. Here's a bunch of money. We're going to draft Jonathan Brooks in the second round. Okay, now we're going to go ahead and bring in Rico Dowdle in the offseason, because we definitely don't want Miles Sanders. I thought that was really interesting, and I love what you're saying about Fergie, because I do think with the George Pickens addition, he is the player that I think should benefit the most.
I'm right there. I think, well, you know what? I'm glad you brought this up, because I still have a hard time on the defensive side of the ball, aside from Diggs, saying make or break, because everything's going to be new to them this year with this defensive coordinator, with Flus coming back in and doing his thing. How is he going to use them, and is he going to get different things out of these guys and actually be able to, you know, stuff the run and tackle physically? Is he going to be able to do that? But I'm glad you brought up Pickens, and I wanted to bring up CeeDee Lamb in this as well. Pickens was named the NFL's, for each of the 32 teams, the most important newcomer for each one of these guys, these teams. And Pickens was USA Today's selection for the most important. I started thinking, I was like, okay, was Kenneth Murray as important?
Yeah.
Who are any of these other guys? I started going through the rookies too, and I was like, I think Siobhan Revelle's an important piece on this. But I know Pickens has, this is the perfect year for him to prove that he's a number one for a big time contract with somebody else. All the things line up perfectly for him to have a really big season. The other one though is David Cheetah on NFL.com said, way too early bold predictions. Or is it Chiata?
I think that you nailed it.
Cheetah. He says,
I don't know,
that CeeDee Lamb is going to break the NFL record for receptions this season. And so he thinks the arrival of George Pickens is one of the reasons that that's going to help.
Okay.
And when you start to think about how you would use him, this is probably happens a little too often. I start thinking to myself, how would I use him? And the coaches don't necessarily do the same thing I do.
Of course.
But whenever I look at this, play action is going to be a big factor for Dak Prescott because Dak Prescott does well with play action.
Yes.
That's and just a simple fact.
Hey, the one thing we know about Shoddy's track record, he likes play action as well.
And we've also learned over time that you don't even have to have, a lot of times you don't even have to have a good running game for play action to work, but it does help your running game too because play action is what it is. So it creates an imbalance in defenders knowing what they're supposed to do. So when then I look at, okay, what can Pickens do? He is going to create one-on-ones. Well, now you also have, once you've decided to say I'm double teaming CeeDee Lamb, you're not just creating space for Pickens. You're creating space for Ferguson, just like you said.
Yeah.
The thing about these two receivers on either side is that when Dak's at his best, when he sees single high coverage, once he sees it, he knows where to attack. That guy rolls left, that guy rolls right, I'm going where he wasn't, because that's where the most space is for me to throw to. When he's at his best, that happens, and that's going to happen more often than not whenever you, if you have good play action and if you have receivers that are competent in doing their jobs and winning their one-on-one battles, because at some point you do have to start rolling to somebody.
Yes.
And when that happens, that's when Dak should recognize the next one's open. I think Pickens is going to be a great factor for this team as long as they can keep him wrangled in and as long as he does it for himself, stays disciplined in what he wants to do. But CeeDee Lamb setting the NFL record for receptions in a season, do you think that is possible? He produced 135 catches in 2023 when Dak was healthy.
It's possible. I wonder with the addition of Pickens, like, that's just not going to make it likely, right? Because, like, how many catches is George Pickens going to end up getting?
Gotta feed everybody.
And then Ferguson as well, as you just mentioned. That's a contract year for Fergie. Contract year for Jalen Tolbert. They just paid Kevontae Turpin. How much is Kevontae Turpin getting into the mix here? So I just think there's other mouths to feed that might limit that. But the way that they peppered him with targets in 2023, CD is that type of player that deserves that kind of consistency. Like, you need to find a way to have him involved and have him involved on a regular basis. It's possible. The record's 149 for Michael Thomas.
Yep.
So he was pretty close 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so it's possible. I would just say not likely, because I just think Pickens eats into some of that production.
Yeah. If they go to short passing game and he becomes running back feature for passing game, you know, he's a receiver.
Right.
But we use our best receiver as a running back out of the slot.
Yeah.
You know, then that could definitely line up well for him to get plenty of touches.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment here is the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. We do it every afternoon here at this time. Luke Jackson, your Rangers pitcher, dog. He's coming up at 3:40 and Rangers player show as they're hosting the Royals tonight, looking for their fifth win in a row here. Man, I didn't know when they took that swoon about 2 weeks ago if they were going to get back to 500. Then last week when they took 2 of 3 from the Twins, I started thinking and hoping and dreaming. And then, boom, here we are. So what if Simeon's turnaround just brought the entire Rangers team along with him and the good times are back? I think we're due. We definitely paid enough penance after that that World Series to be due, I feel like, and this team's good enough to get the job done. So we're very excited about that. We'll have day baseball coming up on Thursday, so hope you guys can enjoy that. And then next week, they're actually going to be on the East Coast, so we'll have like 5 o'clock starts. So you're in Rangers paradise here if you're listening to the Fan and afternoon drive over the next couple of weeks, especially if they keep on winning like this. We're going to be at Pickler Universe playing pickleball with you. That's the I-35 and George Bush location. That's Friday from 2 to 5, and we'd love to see you out there along with Stella Artois. This C-Note, though, brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, here we go. Morning News writing about what we know about Micah Parsons' contract negotiations with the Cowboys. You know, I just feel bad for Micah at this point because I know he'd like to have this thing taken care of, but he has to sit out or the Cowboys will never have any real urgency towards this. You know, and I'm glad we're now at a time where at least fans see that, I think, with clarity. I don't think there's a lot of people mad at Micah Parsons, but Brian said yesterday, you know, I don't think he wants to lose $50,000 a day. So
I don't think he does.
The move then is going to be a hold in. Is that what you're predicting for Oxnard?
Hold in. Yeah. If we don't get this thing done by the 21st of July,
I think there's going to be a hold in.
So that, I mean, that stinks as you're changing coordinators. But also, I think the thing that really stinks is it's just a reminder that Cowboys aren't interested in doing whatever it takes to get the guy to practice. You know, I think this comes down to not wanting to do it enough or not being good enough. Don't they have to redo this whole contract negotiation approach? Like, their process just sucks.
Yeah.
They painted themselves in a corner.
How can they fix this now?
Trade Parsons.
You trade him or you just call his bluff.
Yeah.
Which means this thing's just going to go for...
And that's why I talked about going to maybe getting Von Miller and find a way to make up for 16 and a half sacks.
I just think Jerry does not have the stomach for that. And Jerry's the one who has the extreme...
Well, he didn't have the stomach for Dak's situation. We know that. So you're absolutely right about that.
Just trading away superstar caliber players. He doesn't want to do that. And he's super stubborn. Bobby was saying it this morning of like... Jerry doesn't want to pay you until he says it's time for you to be paid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's like his own stubborn way of maintaining the power and the control, even if it costs him more money when it's all said and done. He's willing to pay that price just so everybody knows I'm the one who decides when anybody here gets paid. I'm the big swinging stick. So until Jerry is no longer running things from that standpoint, I don't think any of that changes. We'll see if Steven has the same type of heightened level of stubborn nature and that power control that Jerry has when it comes to these very specific situations of negotiating. But
get ready. You got other ones down the lane that are coming here
very quickly.
I think Jerry is a very unique personality, though, and that's a great point. Like, the psychology of not having money growing up and wanting to be that important and finally getting here and clinging to that for your ego. I think that's specifically him.
Yes.
Where Steven, I think, will look at things much more practically.
Yeah, that's...
I think Steven's really frustrated right now. I think he is really, really frustrated.
Because he probably knows what we just talked about.
He knows. He knows that this trend is not going to change for him.
But you nailed it. I mean, in order to get the agents off your case and to make them nervous that they might actually say no, and to do the deal now, like if you want Micah to do the equivalent of the OSA deal now, you would have had to trade or let Dak go. You got to let one of these guys go to reestablish your credibility at the bargaining table. Now they just see you as a pushover.
Yeah, because that's exactly what's happened. I mean, what's the last player that they played hardball with? I mean, they let Byron Jones go. Is that the last one we can think of?
Mm-hmm.
Amari Cooper got what he wanted. Zeke got what he wanted.
What was Ware's situation? Was his just...
DeMarcus Ware, they thought was old and not that good anymore, not worth the money, so it was a salary cap dump.
Yeah, the quote from Jerry that year was, I don't even want to disrespect you with an offer because we're so up against the cap that we have to sort of turn over a new leaf in team building. And, you know, he was still good enough to be one of the top paid defensive players at his position. So he went on to Denver and got a nice check and won the Super Bowl ultimately there. But hopefully, you know, the Cowboys are recognizing this situation that they put themselves in, and somebody there can sell them on a new vision. Like, maybe this is where actually we should be aligned with the league instead of trying to do our own thing. From the player's perspective, though, I do wish they would all take Dak's approach of, I'm never going to miss a day of practice with the team. We'll do everything with that in mind. And then if I have to hold out, I'll get to there when the regular season starts happening. Because I think that's what the Joneses would care about. Like, what they're revealing in their negotiation strategy is they don't really care that much if you miss practice in training camp. So if I'm Mike, I'd be like, I'm not taking anything away from them by holding out here. They don't care. I will tell them is, I will be here practicing and doing all the meetings because I care about winning. But if we get to week one without a deal, you won't even see me at the stadium. And I think, you know, I think Dak has shown, listen, you can have it actually both ways. You can show everybody here I'm fully committed to the practice and the team and everything and still get the bag.
And maybe he has a conversation with Micah about that. I mean, there is a part of me that thinks Micah is such an uber competitor. One, the finances that you illustrated there, Brian, I think is spot on. But, I mean, we saw it just at minicamp the other day. He wasn't supposed to probably go out there and do anything. He couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
I mean, being out there and just being standing on the side, like, we've seen how bored he gets just after stretching. He's got to jump around from station to station and go to different position groups and just get in the mix. So
maybe the Cowboys need to wait him out.
I mean, and that could be a play.
Yeah. Maybe they're feeling like that he can't stay away from it. Once it starts, he can't stay away. And maybe
get him to do that deal that you want.
Yeah. Maybe
we don't need to talk to your agent. We got the deal that we want with you. And if you want to be here, then
they talked to him initially, but that's before Crosby and others had been signed.
You know, I don't want to get into, you know, talking about the guy because I really don't know him that well. But, you know, maybe he's just not a classroom kid, you know, like.
Oh, he's
they,
not.
They talk about the kid in class. You know, when we were growing up, it's like, wow, you're the bad kid. He's just hyperactive.
He
you know,
hates,
just ADD a little
he
bit.
He hates classroom football.
See, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's and Zach's right. We've talked about this a bunch. He'll bounce from meetings to meetings. And you're kind of like. And the coach is like, oh, well, don't you have to be down in your meeting? You know, he's like hanging out with the running backs or he's hanging out. You know, he just does not want to sit down. And, you know, this isn't Sean Lee or Leighton Vander Esch when it comes to just grinding just every day thinking about football. You know, I mean, he thinks about football, but not on the level that those types of guys do. Once he gets out there and plays, we all know what that kind of guy is. Mm-hmm. But he just does not want to sit in the classroom and learn about scheme. That's just not his deal.
I mean, I could not stand the class, you know, and that's why I was constantly an underperforming student. And I think if I was amazing enough to just show up and get A's, there's no way I would have been in that class. You know, if I could have showed up and aced the test every mm-hmm. Sunday. Okay, NFL execs and scouts picking their favorite 2025 offseason moves. We go to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. And this is interesting. He writes, Dallas has leaned into a certain strategy more than any other teams. The Cowboys are willing to relinquish draft capital for high upside talent on rookie contracts. This is kind of their version of F them picks.
Yeah.
Says the Cowboys executed three trades for Kyir Elam, for Joe Milton, and now Pickens, who has the talent to be a top 10 receiver. You know, the Pickens trade might be a winner when people in the NFC East mention unprompted that the acquisition might just shift the dynamic of the Cowboys offense. Dealing with CeeDee and him opens things up for them, a coach in the division said. And an AFC personnel man said he'll be a big piece there when he's covered. He's really open. I know the current concerns are there, but I think having an established passing game with veterans to help him along and the fact he's in a contract year will keep him in line. And if you can tap into what he can fully do, his major ability will shine through. So a couple of things. Just the team building angle that maybe we haven't talked about a lot. Is this the Cowboys going for it? And if you've gone for it this much, shouldn't we expect a trade or a signing of a veteran corner and maybe more help against the run game? I think if you know you get Pickens, you're trading future picks for these guys. Is that kind of a win now move?
And Pickens' move is pretty win now.
Yeah, should I predict more? I mean, maybe the Elam, the Trey Lance, the Joe Milton to a lesser extent, but
there's no safety net for signing him long term mm-hmm. after this season unless you figure out. Unless you want to use the franchise tag on him, but you might have to use that on somebody else.
Yeah, it could be a one-year rental.
This is a try and win now mode because there's no safety net here.
But you know, with Cooks and Gilmore acquisitions, and then Trey Lance, Joe Milton, maybe we're getting into an age where they're like, "Hey, Dak's on the other side of 30. We need to start taking day three future picks and keep trying to pepper the team now to take advantage of whatever's left in this window."
Yeah, I think the Pickens move is a win now move for sure. I think those other moves are just like, just be competent.
Yeah.
Just be competent now moves. Yeah. Kyir Elam, he's not winning you a bunch of games. He's just a body out there to
just
be respectful.
To fill the puzzle.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not, hey, we're swinging for the Super Bowl fences here.
They also looked at the Commanders' acquisition of Laremy Tunsil, while teams we spoke with had mixed reviews on the Deebo Samuel trade due to perceptions of a declining skill set. Most were all in on Tunsil. Still a top three player at his position, a top three tackle, said an AFC scout, and anything you can do to protect Jaden Daniels and load up while he's on his rookie deal is smart.
It's amazing the variance of opinion on Laremy Tunsil. Like, I still think he's pretty good, too. But as soon as they made that trade, I saw other people coming out talking about how he's regressed. He hasn't been as good. Maybe it was the PFF grades weren't great for him. People in Houston were still saying like he was solid. The penalties maybe were
something.
Ton
of false starts.
So I'm interested to see how Laremy Tunsil plays with Washington. It is an upgrade on paper. There's no question. But we'll see how it works out.
Okay, they like Rodgers to the Steelers. Quote, he's still throwing the bleep out of the ball. Honestly, a veteran coach said he's the best QB they've had since Roethlisberger. We will see how the body holds up, but I think he's going to help them immensely. I guess you have DK Metcalf. I'm not sure who their runner is. Did they draft a new runner?
They got Warren.
They got
and,
Caleb Johnson.
Caleb Johnson.
Okay. Our RB2, Brian,
yeah.
From Iowa.
They like the Rams signing Devontae Adams, 32 years old, still performing at a high level. And with the Cooper Kupp out, now it's a It's Adams and Nacua, who might, you know, still be one of the best receiving duos in the league. All righty, the C-Note every afternoon at 3:20 here in the G-Bag Nation. Now, usually we get to Krusty's Corner coming up next. We're going to move that till 4 o'clock because it's time next for the Rangers Player Show. And reliever Luke Jackson joins us here in the G-Bag Nation. Hour 4, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Expressway's coming up in 20 minutes. You have G-Bag today coming up at 5:30 and then LA Live at 5:40. Right now, time for some football content. Here's Wolchuk.
Yeah, so we had this question posed to you, Brian, when we did Krusty's Corner a few weeks back, and it was like, okay, concern. Which side of the ball do you have more questions about? And I've heard the answer be defense, I'd say 9 out of 10 times. And I have way more pressing questions personally on the offensive side of the ball than I have on defense. I think on defense, it's really health related at corner, right? Like Diggs, Revell, how are they going to be health-wise? And then otherwise, you kind of know what this defense is going to look like. We just played what Flus had to say on the Doomsday podcast. It's very reminiscent from what we saw here with Rod Marinelli for many, many years. And the linebacking core, like, yeah, there's new, but it's also way better than it was 2 years ago. I think every single year they've continued to upgrade there. But in terms of like how good is this team going to be, I think all the big questions are on the offensive side of the football. Like, do you have a left tackle? How good is Tyler Guyton this year? Is he able to take the strides to be a competent left tackle? They don't want to move Tyler Smith. So what ends up happening if Guyton's not any good? Are they forced to move Tyler Smith? Do they play Awesome Richards? Does he play well? Who's your starting running back? Nobody can name a starting running back right now. We have no idea. How much better is Terrence Steele? Is it really the offensive line coach that is going to be the big difference maker? That's what we've heard. And I believe that. I buy into it. We still need to see it. Like, can Terrence still get back to at least the dominant run blocker that he was pre-injury? How good of a play caller is Brian Schottenheimer?
See, this is where I'm glad you're going now.
That's a massive question.
To me, the coaches that have the least amount of NFL experience are on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Wide receiver,
rookie. When you look at like your primary offensive line coach, and we'll see. I mean, the OC is a former NFL offensive line coach. How much interaction he has? Probably a lot. You know, but is he coaching and is the line coach really the assistant? But in title, he's the line coach. But you look, wide receiver coach, not the NFL experience.
Yep.
You know, the only one that really has NFL experience when you start to talk about these coaches, though, is Linda Wells.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I say, your other positions don't have that type of, you know, so if you and some key positions too with that offensive line stuff. And you even mentioned it. Well, what kind of play caller is Brian Schottenheimer going to be? That's where I think this thing really starts.
100%. Like, how, what does this offense even look like?
Yeah.
Because we've heard, I mean, every offseason, oh, the scheme's different. We like this. They're implementing this. Hell, we were on the practice field in Oxnard, saw them doing awesome stuff in the red zone. Like, hell yeah, they're running mesh patterns. We got pick routes going here. Did we see that on game days?
No.
No, we didn't. So, like, yeah, it sounds great right now, but I think all of your big question marks are really on the offensive side of the ball. Do they even have an above-average tight end on the roster? Like, I'm a Jake Ferguson stan, but Fergie was bad last year. Do you get back to Jake Ferguson being what he was 2 years ago? I'm hopeful. That's a question. And then George Pickens is on his best behavior right now. The second things go poorly and you start losing, how's that relationship? Do him and CeeDee, and CeeDee's also been a guy that ends up being like, oh, the bad body language, this and that. They're both uber competitors. They both want to win. They start losing. They're not seeing the football. What happens with that dynamic? So I think you're big time. And then how good is Dak?
Yeah, it's a great question,
right?
Too.
Like, Dak was not good prior to the injury last year. That might also be a product whose your offense was just horrible under Mike McCarthy. Maybe that's a benefit. But I think all your big time questions, like, obviously there's questions on the defensive side of the football, but I kind of have an idea what that's going to look like. You're going to be able to rush the passer, and we know kind of what the scheme's going to be. I don't know what the hell the offense is going to look like, to be honest with you.
I get what you're saying. I think there's a bunch of questions on both sides of the ball. I think you got to look at like confidence, though, in terms of what do you believe in? Do you buy more into Dak getting closer to his normal self? Do you buy Jake Ferguson getting back closer to his normal self? Do you buy Terrence Steele? Do you buy Tyler Guyton more than Mozzie Smith? I think like Mozzie Smith is a bigger question to me than Tyler Guyton.
Like, do we have a question about Mozzie? I think Mozzie is what he is.
Okay,
I think
fair enough.
I think you know what Mozzie Smith is. Okay. And that's at best an average player in the NFL.
And I think that's where I go. Questions or confidence, I'm still more confident that the offense will be competent than I am the defense, because you said they have a pass rush. Do they have anything else? Do they have a run defense? I would say probably not. Do they have many people in the secondary that you trust? No, you do not. You have Deron Bland. That's the only person you actually trust in the entire secondary in week one. So I'm still more
health, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the health factor for sure.
Yeah.
So I have questions about the offense. Sure, what is it going to look like? But I also have more confidence that the offense is going to be respectable compared to the defense, which I think is going to have a ton of problems.
I mean, this is a great question because it really gets to the root of how much you trust this offense now with another set of eyes on it. I have a high degree of confidence that Dak plus CeeDee Pickens is going to get you points. And even if they mismanage the play calling, you're going to have a top 10 scoring offense, probably top 5 scoring offense. But how much of that is based on the belief from those 12 win seasons where they were rolling up bad competition and now they have a tough schedule? So, you know, I hope that we should have confidence in the offense, but if Dak doesn't play well, then obviously you're going to be looking for a different quarterback and the questions on offense will be overwhelmingly louder.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the laundry list of questions I can come up with, I have more questions on the offense side of the ball than I do defense. We can talk confidence all you want. That's a separate issue. But the questions are lining up on offense because I think there's way more. We're hopeful. I'm hopeful all those things. Dak gets back to 2023 version. I'm hopeful they can run the football. They're built to hopefully do that. But we haven't seen them run the ball.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at it individually as a group. I feel like right now your biggest vulnerability is stopping the run, you know? And yes. I don't know if that's any individual players, but that's how you're going to lose in January again if you get there.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, in terms of how vulnerable are they? That's great. But in terms of question marks, I still have more questions. I couldn't come up with nearly as many questions that I had on defense. Like the low-hanging fruit, a team that's been bad stopping the run for a decade, yeah, they need to prove they can stop the run. But we have that question every year. Entering 2025, this version of the Dallas Cowboys, I got a lot of unknown on that offensive side of the football.
Yeah, and we need great answers to those questions.
Coach, you know? The quarterback, yeah.
I do feel like there's a tremendous amount of potential in this offensive line considering what they were able to do last year with Dowdle. You know, if you get some good running going, but we don't know how good their runners are going to be. They could be washed up or just incapable.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I have plenty of questions about the offense for sure. I just think that the defense is going to be a bigger problem.
Talk about run defense here every year.
Yeah.
Every year. He's right. It's kind of a low-hanging fruit thing. You can automatically say Dallas is going to be bad in run defense because they generally are.
And it's their combination of players that you've mentioned that sold me. Like, even if you get a great answer with Mozzie, your corners don't
tackle. They get screwed. When their offense doesn't click, they get screwed on defense. Because the one thing they're built to do is rush the passer. They're not built. When everybody was trying to get back to building run defenders, you know, playing good run defense, Dallas continually was working on rushing the passer. And for a while there, it was very successful. Because you had a quarterback and an offense that was putting up points. You know, they're making teams chase points. You made teams one dimensional, you know. So I don't know. I mean, it always seems like every year we talk about Dallas and run defense. Probably a lot of teams in the NFL you can talk about run defense, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know how many defenses you're looking at that you're like your run defense and also your secondary. Like, can you stop the pass? Like, sure, you can get after the passer. If you're up two touchdowns in the game, your pass rush will be nice.
Then we just should say they're effed overall on defense.
I think so.
Yeah. It's not just the run defense. It's, well, overall, their defense, yeah, they've got some talent, but the thing about it is we don't know, is the lack of a good run defense going to affect their pass defense?
When they've had their best teams, the offense dictates how this team's going to play.
I totally agree.
So to me, this team's success is driven by the offense.
I agree.
If they can run the football and this offensive line does end up gelling and being what we are hopeful and think it will be, this team can be much better than we think it will be. That's the formula.
Make this thing a top 5 scoring offense And then you won't have to worry about your defense.
I do look at the defense in the second half of last year and find some optimism that even though Diggs was out and Overshown was eventually out and Mozzie played the way that he did, you're adding Dante Fowler and some other veterans to this mix. Yeah. You get the two veteran linebackers now instead of just one. You have multiple and Leafau in a second year. Like, I think it's possible this defense actually plays pretty dang good if, as you said, they can play with a lead and they can prevent their guys from being worn out. And that's got to start with a good running game and controlling the clock. And
well, let's just hope they're not like the Texas Ranger offense, you know, that yeah. like that defenses you're pitching and they're holding you in games, but you can't get any points out of it. You know, that's why I like I say this team is only going to be as good as its offense. And that starts with the quarterback, and it starts with the play caller.
It is the G-Back Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Rangers are off tonight. We had CY on back there at 4:20. Well, Chuck, is there any other Cowboys stuff you want to get into?
No, go for
it. I have 10 things we learned about the Cowboys this offseason, position battles, contracts, and more. This is from Calvin Watkins this morning in the morning news. Speed is a thing, and they plan to use it. Pickens, Kevontae Turpin, Jaden Blue, who I still don't think is getting enough recognition for the 4.28 that he ran at Pro Day. And then Miles Sanders, I don't know how much speed he has left, but he had plenty of it in his prime, and he's only 28 years old. So quick throws, vertical routes. Are we going to see the speed pop with this offense, Brian? Did they add enough to make it count?
Yeah, well, you're starting to see that they're putting Turpin in the backfield more. You know, I should say more. The time when I was watching practice the other day, they were trying to find ways. So you got guys like Blue, and they're saying Sanders looks like he's got a little jump, little juice to him. So hopefully that kind of works out for you. Pickens, I could say you're probably going to have him for 1 year. Hopefully he can give you a little bit, like we talked about, a vertical game, some, you know, with the way that he's able to kind of separate down the field. Yeah, I mean, they've added some speed, but it's like, so there's other teams that have, I think, a little bit more. But it's going to come down to the coaches again. I keep saying this. You know, you can have all this, but if you don't use it the right way, if you don't put it in position, and coaches love to tell you, oh, well, you know, we're just trying to put our players in the making, the, you know, put them in position to make the best plays they can and stuff. Well, instead of talking about it, actually damn do it.
Please.
You know, yeah. that's to me, we could talk about Pickens and Turpin and have they added speed. Yeah, they on paper, they look pretty damn good speed-wise. But if you just kind of waste Blue until week 7 or week 8 and don't figure out a plan for him right off the jump, and you've got George Pickens, it's averaging, you know, 3 targets a game kind of a thing, then this team's not gonna, we're gonna be talking about the 9th overall pick in the draft.
Well, yeah, and maybe that'd be the best case scenario if this team's really 1 year away, that this year not be good and get another top 10 pick where you could get an impact player. You know, I think what you were talking about right there is, can your scheme get guys the ball in space? Number 6 is Dak Prescott and the play action pass. In 2023, he completed 68% of his passes while working the 5th most plays in play action, and that went quite well, at least during the regular season. The Cowboys called play action passes on 19% of offensive plays with Prescott on the field, and he completed 69% of those last season. So they called it less, but it was still incredibly efficient, even more efficient than the year before. So that one's big, and I think the most impressive thing I saw in the entire 3 weeks was Tyler Guyton's interview, his reestablished physique. And I think it's given me quite a bit of reason to believe that year 2 for Tyler Guyton is going to be a big step in the right direction.
Well, at least he realizes that it couldn't get any worse, because that, you know, when he was in a situation that last year, you know, there were a couple of reps where Micah Parsons, you're like going in, he's like, man, that looks pretty darn good. And then there was, you know, he got hurt, his demeanor, his attitude, all these things were not good. And so, you know, the fact that he realized that he wasn't very good, I think that's the first sign of maybe he's making some changes here. They just need him to be good. They don't need him to be great. They just need him to be good. And if he can do that, then they'll find some ways to. But like I say, I just want this coaching staff not to waste some of the talent that they have in the skill positions. And I think if they don't find ways to make that happen, this defense will be in problems. It'll have a lot of problems too.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We're 15 minutes away from the G-Bag of the day. We're going to kickstart the expressway. What we learned about CY earlier in our Rangers conversation and more is coming up next, The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.